Since Scripture says to preach the word, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? Preach the word. Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about praying to Jesus' mother?
Pastor Chris Rosebro speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Scripture says to preach the word. Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about humans evolving from monkeys? Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about women being pastors? Which biblical text will I be preaching through when I get to the part about non-binary human beings? Scripture says to preach the word. Scripture teaches sola scriptura.
You can watch and listen to Chris Rosebro's presentation, Making the Case for Scripture Alone, at the 2022 Making the Case Conference. We'll send you links to download a podcast and watch a video stream for a tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org. I think it's fair to say that Joel Osteen of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, is a very influential evangelical. His theology may not be mainstream evangelical, although I think evangelicalism has moved his way to a great degree. His message doesn't seem any time controversial. He says, what you say about yourself is what you create about yourself. You create your own reality. And lately he's been saying that you don't have to wait for God to bless you. You can bless yourself. In fact, if you don't bless yourself, you'll be cursing yourself. And, well, you know where that leads. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to talk Joel Osteen on blessing yourself. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. And he's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Contrast, if you would, the biblical teaching on blessing with the one that is popularized by teachers like Joel Osteen.
So when we talk about blessing in the terms that Scripture legitimately talk about, it begins with a concept similar to what we see in Psalm 32. Listen to the words of Psalm 32. David writes, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." So because we are under a curse, this is as a result of our fall into sin. Our first parents, they disobeyed God's command to not eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result of it, the creation itself is cursed. It's subjected to futility. We die. We experience pain, suffering, and death. We put food on the table by the sweat of our brow. This is all because of our sin. And so you cannot talk about God's blessings apart from the blessing that we have in Christ, because everyone who does not trust in Christ, the one who does not believe in Jesus or the promises of the forgiveness of their sins won by Christ, they are not blessed. They continue to be under the wrath of God. And so when we talk about blessings, it begins with the blessing of being reconciled to God through the gospel, and then God meeting our needs. And then you could talk about the further blessings that we are promised in the eschaton, when Christ returns in glory to judge the living and the dead. Whereas Joel Osteen, he talks about blessings in mere material, physical health, concepts that basically sound like somebody has achieved their goals by doing their annual, I promise to do this thing, you know, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to get healthy, I'm not going to have cancer, all this kind of stuff. Everything is kind of temporal, and he does not focus us on the real true blessings that we have in Scripture as a result of what Christ has done for us.
Just a general outline of Joel Osteen's theology here. How would you describe it?
So Joel Osteen is a purveyor of the word of faith heresy. He has his own little spin on it. And the idea then is that he believes that all negative outcomes that we have in our lives are the result of us speaking curses over ourselves, speaking negatively, and then we can attract God's blessings and temporal bonuses, if you would, by speaking positive words over our life. So he's a firm believer that our words create reality for either good or evil.
What are we going to hear first from Joel?
So this is a sermon. We're going to be listening to a portion of a sermon that he recently did and posted on his YouTube channel called Bless Yourself. So we're going to see in the first soundbite, he's going to set things up for us. He'll make a veiled reference to a passage in the book of Isaiah. We'll take a look at that. I think this sets it up well.
I want to talk to you today about blessing yourself. We hear a lot about blessing others, being good to friends, complimenting a family member, helping a neighbor. That's all good. We should bless others, but it's also important to bless yourself. When we hear bless yourself, that can sound odd and self-centered. I can't bless myself. I want somebody else to bless me. More importantly, I want God to bless me. But the scripture says in Isaiah, he who invokes a blessing on himself shall do so by saying. The way you bless yourself is to say what God says about you. I am strong, I am talented, I am forgiven, I am healthy, I am valuable, I am a masterpiece. Those are not just positive affirmations. You just invoked a blessing on yourself. When you speak it out, you give life to what you're saying. It's not enough to just think this. You don't bless yourself by just dwelling on positive thoughts. Nothing happens until you speak. When you say, I am blessed, blessings come looking for you. When you say, I am prosperous, good breaks start heading your way. When you say, I am healthy, health starts tracking you down. You can't wait till you feel that way, then you're going to say it. When the medical report turns around, then I'll say I'm healthy. It's just the opposite. You have to declare you're healthy before the health is going to show up. You have to say I am confident before you're going to feel confident. If you'll say it long enough, what happens is those words get down in your spirit. You believe what you say about yourself more than what anyone else says about you. When you hear yourself day after day, I am healthy, I am talented, I am confident, I am valuable, it's changing how you see yourself. And over time, you're going to become what you're saying. You are who you are in part today because of what you've been speaking over your life.
So, Chris, this, I think, is, we've been talking about Joel Osteen for a long, long time, more than two decades, I believe, and this is the first time I've heard him be this clear about kind of you say it and it becomes a reality.
You're absolutely correct. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to discuss this particular sermon is because he said it so succinctly and clearly. And on top of it, he doesn't mention his critics, but he mentions that these are not merely positive affirmations. He knows the criticisms that are out there regarding his theology and the message that he brings. And so he says, no, these are not mere affirmations. You are actually invoking God's blessings when you say these positive things about yourself. And so in a 2-minute soundbite, I think that was one of the most clear synopses I've ever heard of his theology.
Now, you said he made a sidelong reference to a Bible passage. What is it?
Yes. So if you remember in that soundbite, he said that in Isaiah says that he who blesses himself shall say. And I thought it was very interesting. While I was watching the sermon in preparation for this interview, I noted that on the screen, they did not actually give the Bible reference. I have a few Bible programs, so I easily was able to track this down. And what was interesting was that he was quoting from the Amplified, which is a terrible translation. It's not a faithful rendering of either the Greek or the Hebrew. And it seems to be the go-to translation for many in the Word of Faith heresy. But I noted he quoted that verse completely out of context, and he only quoted a portion of it. And so one of the things I like to say on my program is that in order to rightly understand a biblical text or to fact check somebody who, whether or not they're preaching God's word correctly, we always want to apply the three rules for sound biblical exegesis, which are context, context, and context. So the passage is Isaiah 65. The verse in question is verse 16, but verse 16 begins halfway through a sentence. So if we back it up, I think we can get a good feel for what's going on here. It says, therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, behold, my servants shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. So God here is talking about making a distinction between those who believe in him and those who don't. So behold, my servants, they shall sing for gladness of heart, but you shall cry out for pain of heart and shall wail for the breaking of spirit. You shall leave your name to my chosen for a curse, and the Lord God will put you to death, but his servants he will call by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes. And so this portion of Isaiah is in the portion where Isaiah is giving eschatological prophecies, things that are having to do with the new earth and things like this, and this is invoking the day of judgment. And so what Joel Osteen basically did is he took Isaiah 65 verse 16 and he just quoted a few words from it, and then he added his own ending. So the one who blesses himself shall say is what Joel Osteen said, and then he filled in the rest. So he shall speak positive things. This is what it means to say that I'm wealthy, I'm healthy, I'm strong, and all these kinds of things. And so somebody who was carefully fact-checking him would note then that already we have a problem, because in the setup for the sermon, the one reference he's made to the Bible so far, he completely twisted it to make it say something that it doesn't say at all.
What's next from Joel?
Okay, so now think of it this way. I chose a portion of the sermon where he was going to invoke a biblical text, wanted to see what he does with it. But as we're listening to this, ask yourself the question as we listen to this. He's talking about how we can curse ourselves. What ramifications would this have regarding actually confessing our sins? So in the divine service, we begin by confessing that we are by nature sinful and unclean. See if this portion of Joel Osteen's sermon would not completely upend that practice.
The scripture says, with our words, we can bless or we can curse. We can lift up or we can push down. My question is, are you blessing yourself or are you cursing yourself? Are you speaking words of faith, life, victory, or are you speaking defeat, mediocrity? I'm so undisciplined. I'll never lose this weight. I'll never break this addiction. I'm unattractive. I'll never meet the right person. You may not realize it, but you're cursing yourself. You're speaking defeat into your future. You have enough people in life against you. Don't be against yourself. There are forces of darkness trying to keep you from your destiny. Don't give them any fuel. Pay attention to what you're saying about yourself. You can't talk defeat and have victory. You can't talk lack and have abundance. You can't talk sickness and have health. You may be undisciplined right now, but the way to change is not by telling how bad you are, putting yourself down. That's inviting more difficulties. Start speaking victory. Don't curse yourself anymore. Start blessing yourself. I am disciplined. I am determined. I am strong. I will break this addiction. I will get back in shape. A friend of mine struggled with smoking for many years. He tried to quit again and again, wasn't able to do it. He was constantly saying, it's too hard. I'll never break it. I don't have the willpower. He came down for prayer and he was very hard on himself, very critical. He told me how he was undisciplined, and how he had quit for a few months and went back, and how he wasn't going to be able to break it. He didn't realize he was cursing himself. And I told him, what I'm telling you, you have to change what you're saying. You have to start blessing yourself. Every day, start saying, I am strong, I am disciplined, this addiction doesn't control me. He tried this different approach. While he was smoking, he would say, Lord, thank you that I am free. Thoughts would tell him, are you kidding? You're not free, you're just as addicted as you were before. The scripture says, let the weak say I'm strong. Don't describe the weakness, call in strength, call in freedom, call in favor.
So, what is he urging his listeners to actually do here, this example of someone who overcomes a nasty habit?
Yeah, and notice he's not talking in terms of sin that need to be repented of, which is the biblical category that we should be operating in. So let's say that somebody has a proclivity for porn, right? So this is a problem. It's pervasive. It's epidemic throughout society, and somebody is struggling with a porn addiction. We as pastors must confront those with porn addictions by telling them that this is a breaking of the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. This is a sin. And you'll note that the person who is struggling with a porn addiction, Joel Osteen's solution is you just need to positively speak these words. This addiction doesn't have me. I have control over it. It's a denial of reality and a refusal to confess your sins. So I find that what he just said regarding speaking curses on yourself doesn't jive with Scripture. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, it is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, that's God, we make God to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And Joel Osteen has, I think, run completely against this text by basically invoking people engaging in sinful behavior, and rather than confessing their sins, he's told them that if they speak this way, they are speaking a curse over themselves. I think about the small little rite that is in the Lutheran service book regarding individual confession and absolution. And so we pastors, we exercise the office of the keys publicly as part of our office in the pastoral office. That being the case, sometimes people come to us and they're struggling with a sin. And listen to these words that the penitent speaks for the purpose of hearing an absolution. I, a poor sinner, I plead guilty before God of all sins. I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered the most. My Lord's name I have not honored as I should. My worship and my prayers, they have faltered. I have not let his love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and my desires, they have been soiled with sin. And you'll note then that in this little rite that we have for individual confession and absolution, the penitent can then go on to describe whatever sin that is troubling them or vexing them or having a hard time with this, and they receive an absolution. The very blessing that David invokes in Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose the Lord God does not count his transgressions against him. That's true blessing. The one who comes and speaks the truth about themselves, that they are sinners, that they have not measured up, that they have not done what they ought. They have done the things that they should not have done. Rather than receiving a curse from God, which is what Joel Osteen has said about this, they instead receive the blessing of the forgiveness of their sins. And so this theology that he has created, it cuts people off from speaking the truth about themselves so that they can be forgiven and have confidence that Christ has died for their sins. And instead, he is telling them that their magical words of positivity are the things that you use to then overcome sin rather than confessing and being forgiven and then using the power of the Holy Spirit to mortify your sinful flesh. The schema that he's put together legitimately overturns the gospel and the very prayers that the scriptures teach us to pray so that we can be forgiven.
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith is our guest. Joel Osteen on Blessing Yourself is our topic. You're linked to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can watch and listen to Chris Roseborough's teaching, Making the Case for Scripture Alone, and all of the presentations from the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll send you a link, username, and password for a tax-deductible donation of $300 by Labor Day. You can place your order online at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. After the break, we'll hear Joel Osteen twist the story of Balaam.
topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest of Fighting for the Faith. We're listening to Joel Osteen on Blessing Yourself. So, Chris, what's next from Joel Osteen?
Yes. So, in this one, he's going to invoke the story of Balaam, Balaam's donkey. And let's see what he does with this particular text.
About 6 months later, something interesting happened. He started to not like the taste of the cigarette. He thought it was a bad batch. The taste got worse and worse. He got to the point where he couldn't stand it. He stopped smoking. Today, he's been free for over 8 years. It all started when he stopped cursing himself and he started blessing himself. Are you speaking negative over yourself? Are you putting yourself down? Talking about how you don't measure up, what you can't do, how you'll never be free. Do yourself a favor. Quit cursing yourself and start blessing yourself. If you keep being negative towards yourself, it will keep you from your destiny. In the book of Numbers, the king of Moab hired Balaam the prophet to go curse the Israelites. The king knew the Israelites were stronger and more powerful. He thought if he could get Balaam to curse them, then the Moabites would be able to defeat the people of Israel. But God told Balaam to only say what the Lord says. When Balaam arrived, instead of cursing the Israelites, he blessed them. The king was so upset. He said, "You don't understand. I'm paying you to curse them." This happened 3 times, but every time Balaam blessed them. He told the king, "I cannot curse what God has already blessed." One thing God was showing us is the enemy cannot curse you. You are God's property. He's already put a blessing on you. People, bad breaks, how you were raised, what's coming against you cannot stop your destiny. You've already been set apart, favored, equipped, empowered by the Creator of the universe. But here's the key. Since the enemy can't curse you, he'll try to deceive you into cursing yourself. He'll do his best to try to get you to go through life speaking defeat over yourself. "I'm not that talented. I'll never meet the right person. I've made too many mistakes." He can't curse you. Don't you dare do it for him. Don't you dare curse yourself.
So, Chris, this takes a little sorting out because there's a lot going on in there.
Right.
Let's start out with this idea of destiny that he mentioned twice.
Right. So you'll note that apparently in Joel Osteen's theology, each and every one of us have a unique destiny that we're supposed to receive from God. And the devil is working overtime to keep you from achieving your destiny. And he is not, by the way, talking about eternal life. Instead, he is talking in terms of here on earth, a specific destiny. You were created to be the best car salesman in the world. You were created to be the president of the United States. You were created to be a CEO or a world famous dancer or whatever. This is the destiny. And so apparently the devil is working overtime to keep you from achieving this destiny. It is so temporally focused, it's almost myopic, because Scripture is clear that if our hope is only in Christ for this life, then we are to be pitied. The hope that we have is not here under the cursed creation. The hope that we have in Christ is forgiveness and reconciliation with God by His shed blood for us. We also have hope in the life to come in a world without end. And it's important to note that Joel Osteen's theology hasn't changed. His very first runaway bestseller book was a book called Your Best Life Now. And so he still really believes that Christianity is all about achieving this destiny or the best possible life that you could possibly have in the here and the now. Yet Christ says to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. And he promises us in this lifetime persecution at the hands of religious leaders, of politicians, and even people in our own families. He promises us suffering in this life, and then the joys of the new earth when he returns in glory. So Joel Osteen, you know, talking about your destiny, has everything so focused on the here and now, he completely misses the real promises that we have.
Did he misuse that Old Testament story about Balaam and blessings and curses?
Yeah, he not only misused it, I mean, he didn't read a single portion of that story at all to give us any meaningful understanding of what it was about. He gave us his synopsis and read into that story this theology that he began with at the beginning of the sermon. But it's important to note here that it is true that God told Balaam not to curse Israel, that they were already blessed. And when you read the prophecies of Balaam, which are recorded in the book of Numbers, Balaam actually, because God gave him words, Balaam prophesied of Christ. And it's really quite fascinating. But Balaam, who was originally hired by the king of Moab to curse Israel, was forbidden by God to do so, later kind of got his revenge in the incident at Baal Peor. It was Balaam, scripture says, that taught the people. He acted treacherously against the Lord in the incidents of Baal Peor so that the plague came among the congregation. Balaam basically figured out there was no way to curse Israel, so he weaponized the young ladies of Moab, sent them into the Israeli camp, and they seduced the men of Israel to commit sexual sin with them and to offer sacrifices to Baal. And a huge number of them were struck down by God as a result of this. And so you'll note that if you really take a look at the fuller story of Balaam, that curse fell back on Israel, and it was their own doing because they sinned against God's commandments, not because they spoke negatively about themselves.
And I want to note the list of things that he talked about that did not include sin. He had these lists: people, bad breaks, things that are coming against you. Why won't Joel ever frame any of his preaching in terms of sin and grace?
The simple reason is that he's stated this very clearly, is because he believes that he has a calling from God to speak positively. He was asked about that very early after he took the reins from his father who had passed away. And Joel made it very clear that he believes that he has a special calling from God to speak positively. I would also note that his theology forbids him from legitimately talking about sin in its proper context, because his theology determines that if you speak negatively about yourself, you're speaking a curse. And so if you say that I am an alcoholic, all right, then you are speaking a curse over yourself. But he totally ignores the fact that over and over again in Scripture, it's the one who says the truth about himself regarding his sinfulness, that's the one who receives the blessing of God. I think of the story of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. In the book of Luke, in that parable, you have two men who go up into the temple to pray. It's 3 p.m, the time of the evening sacrifice. And the Pharisee legitimately sounds a lot like Joel Osteen. He stands up and he says, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. You could almost use a Joel Osteen accent when you do that. I thank you, Lord, that I'm the head and not the tail. I thank you that I tithe all the way down to my mint and my cumin, you know, and the herbs of my garden. And I'm not like the sinner, that tax collector over there. He spoke positively about himself. But the tax collector, invoking the sacrifice that was on the altar there at 3 p.m, the time of the evening prayer, he simply spoke these words, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And Christ says of that man who spoke that negative confession, who by Joel Osteen's theology had cursed himself, Christ says that he went to his home justified, declared righteous by God. And so this theology of Joel Osteen's, his refusal to preach the word correctly, his refusal to speak anything negative, all under this superstitious mythological belief that somehow saying those words invokes a curse upon yourself, and him narcissistically teaching people to look in the mirror and say things like, I am blessed, I am skinny, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am wise, all this kind of stuff, that doesn't invoke blessing. In fact, I would note that many of the things that Joel Osteen teaches us to say are the exact same things that the devil said about himself in Isaiah 14. And you don't sound anything the way Christ tells us to sound when we're convicted by the Holy Spirit of our sin. You sound like, well, like a little viper, a little Satan who is full of himself. And that's what Joel Osteen teaches, his just rank theological narcissism.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Adam Kuntz about apparent contradictions on the gospel accounts of Jesus' baptism. We'll continue our historic liturgy series discussing the words of institution with Pastor Will Whedon and Sean Denzer. And we'll get a review of the Disney Plus TV series Obi-Wan Kenobi from Pastor Ted Geese. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.